I'm JT.
And I'm George.
This is Podferatu. Okay, so this is our 50th episode.
Our 50th episode, you guys.
We've done 50 of these fuckers.
That's crazy to even think about.
We've been doing this for a year.
A whole year.
I read somewhere that a lot of podcasts don't make it to 50 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we should be proud of ourselves.
We should be.
Well, I am. You know, I genuinely enjoy doing this every week.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, there have been a handful of weeks where, you know, life makes it so we can't get together to record. And I miss those weeks. It's like I just really enjoy doing this podcast.
Yeah, this is one of the highlights of the week.
Yeah, for those of you who have been loyally listening to us, we really, really appreciate you. We understand that we're not always the easiest to follow along with, but we genuinely love what we're doing, and we appreciate your support.
And we genuinely love the horror movies.
We really, really, really do. 50 episodes. Congrats, yeah.
Congratulations. JT. So yes. We will hopefully be around for a lot more.
Yes.
So thanks for listening. Let's move on.
Yeah.
We're still doing lists. We're still doing individual episode reviews and stuff, but we're kind of getting away from the ranking of movies because, first of all, so many people do that.
Right.
The top 10 this, the top 5 that, and so we're just going to start listing stuff. And
So it got, it got to the point where, like, picking out and creating a mass list of movies that fell under the category was easy. Figuring out which ones I liked was easy. But then trying to put them in a 5-1 sort of ranking order was making it so it wasn't fun. The other problem I was running into is one of the problems that I had with today's list. So, for example, today's list, horror comedies, is not ranked. Luckily, it's not ranked because if I were to rank my favorite horror comedies, Killer Clowns from Outer Space would unequivocally come in at number 1, and then Monster Squad would be number 2 right behind it. However, these are both movies that we've done individual episodes for. So it kind of feels like we're retreading old territory when we do that.
Exactly.
So instead, I'm going to, when I come up with 5 horror comedies, for example, it'll just be 5 that either I feel aren't talked about enough.
Right.
Or we haven't discussed yet on a previous episode. Or I just think you should check out.
Yeah.
That they're just, I just like them. Mm-hmm. And they're worth mentioning.
I still did manage, I still did save my number 1 for last.
Okay.
But I didn't really rank any of the other ones. In fact, I think I put them in mostly alphabetical order.
If I had to consider a ranking for my top, or not my top 5, but these 5, the higher scoring ones, my number 1, I'll say, is one that I think is less in the public.
Okay.
You know, it's a little, maybe a hidden gem. We could probably call it.
Oh, right. Okay.
I would consider it a hidden gem. So let's get into it.
All right.
Who wants to go first?
I will go first. My first one is actually a double because it's the movie and its sequel. 1971, The Abominable Dr. Fibes.
Oh, okay.
And then its sequel, which is 1972, Dr. Fibes Rises Again.
Okay.
Just because it's so campy. It's so over the top. It's Vincent Price almost being a caricature of himself.
Right.
And he just plays it so, it's so campy. And the deaths are so, they're so good. And they're so ridiculous. And there's so many sight gags. And it's just, have you seen either of these?
No.
They're really fun. You should really check out, especially the first one.
I love Vincent Price.
The second one gets a little ridiculous, but it's the premise is Vincent Price is this genius surgeon and also a musician, an ethnomusicologist or something like that. And his wife dies and they both die. He comes back from the dead in ways that are never really explained. And he goes after the surgeons who failed to save his wife.
Oh.
And he kills each one of them according to one of the plagues that were visited upon Egypt.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So one of them, there's a guy, he puts a guy in a frog mask at a costume ball, and the mask has a mechanism so it just keeps closing tighter and tighter and tighter around the guy's head. And then there's another guy who gets, now I can't remember which movie this is in, but this is one of the things that's what makes it so great. This guy gets killed by a unicorn head statue. head that's been catapulted from across the block, and it sticks the guy through, and it's a unicorn head, so the horn is
like corkscrewed.
So they're trying to unscrew.
Oh my god!
The head, and then they cut to the body on the other side of the wall, and the body's going around. I was like, "This is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shit."
That's pretty fantastic.
So that's my first one.
All right, I'm gonna start out with what I call low hanging fruit. It's one of those movies that if you say what are the greatest horror comedies of all time, I think at least 50% of people are gonna say Young Frankenstein. Mel Brooks' classic, 1974. Gene Wilder is brilliant in this. His name is escaping me right now, but the guy who played Frankenstein.
Peter Boyle.
The monster. Peter Boyle is brilliant.
Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman with the moving hump. You know, like, and he was doing that on his own.
What hump?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, there's this really cool gag that Marty Feldman, who plays the Igor character, he's a hunchback, but the actor chose to keep moving the hump around on his back.
I didn't know that.
Unbeknownst to Mel Brooks.
That's great.
And they got halfway through filming before they realized he was doing it. And then at which point he was like, well, keep doing it.
That's funny.
But he just thought it was something that was kind of clever.
Yeah.
Which later on, when Mel Brooks went on to do Robin Hood Men in Tights, the mole on Prince Richard's face moves around throughout the movie.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's intentional, and it's an homage to Marty Feldman.
Wow. That's great.
But yeah, Young Frankenstein by Mel Brooks, probably my favorite Mel Brooks movie.
I think that's my favorite Mel Brooks movie. Blazing Saddles is a close second, but
I think Men in Tights is my second.
But man, Young Frankenstein is just...
Yeah, chef's kiss.
That's jeez.
Right, what's your next one? Or do I want to go to my next one?
Your next one.
All right, so my next one, fairly recent, 2023, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, directed by Christopher Landon, $6 million budget, $18 million return.
Wow.
Starring Vince Vaughn and Catherine Newton. You already know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky.
I haven't seen it yet.
This movie was fantastic.
Okay.
So I... Off the mic, I suggested that we do a double feature of Freaky and Happy Death Day because tonally I believe they're the same director too.
Okay.
Tonally they're very similar. It's like they took this comedy premise,
right?
Like Groundhog's Day, and then they flipped it into what would happen if it was more horror.
Freaky's a takeoff of Freaky Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the cheerleader and the serial killer accidentally switch bodies.
Okay.
And watching Vince Vaughn.
That's got to be hilarious.
First of all, he's genius. Catherine Newton is great as a serial killer.
Okay.
Catherine Newton, you might know from, she plays Ant-Man's daughter.
Okay.
In the Ant-Man. Just a fantastically hilarious film. Really, really self-referential.
Yeah.
But like, it does it smart, intelligently.
It's funny because I never liked Vince Vaughn.
Really? He's okay.
Until I saw the second season of True Detective.
Oh.
In which he plays the heavy.
Oh, really?
And man, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was one of the best parts of the entire season, that season.
Hmm.
And after that, I really, really liked him. So I'm really eager to see Freaky.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a criticism, I guess, but I feel like Vince Vaughn tends to be Vince Vaughn in every, no matter who he's playing. Even when he was Norman Bates, it just felt wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has a very, very stylized form of performance.
Yeah.
And it only works for certain things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But watching him in Freaky, I felt like, oh, okay, this is pretty different for him.
You know, it'd be interesting. I'd like to find somebody that's never seen Psycho. Good luck with that.
Yeah, no shit.
And have them watch the Vince Vaughn version and see what they think, not knowing anything about the original.
I don't think Sarah's seen Psycho.
Yeah, but Sarah probably knows Psycho that would be the hard part. How are you going to find somebody that really doesn't know anything about Psycho?
We should start a reality show. Have you seen Psycho? All right. What's your next one?
My next one is a 2017 movie. It's called Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Yeah. Have you seen the Belko experiment?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Belko experiment is these people in an office that are basically, they're being tested by some unidentified outside authority, and they basically have to all start killing each other.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Well, Mayhem is kind of the same premise, but everybody's killing each other because of a virus, only now it's played for laughs.
Oh.
So it's everybody in a high-rise business office, and they all just start, it's a rage virus.
Huh.
And they all start going nuts and start killing each other. And it's hilarious. It's just, man, it's so funny. And now I can't even remember who's in it. I want to say the guy from, I want to say one of the guys from Walking Dead is in it.
What year did you say this movie was from?
2017.
Yeah, I'm familiar. I've seen the trailer for this then. I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it. Steven Yeun.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really good. He's good in it. It's like I said, it's really entertaining. It's bloody as hell, but it really is played for laughs, and it's right up there with, in terms of the kills and the gore and the laugh quality, it's right up there with like Mom and Dad and Cooties.
Oh wow.
It's that kind of humor.
All right.
And I completely enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It's not something that you're going to watch over and over and over and over again, but it's a blast when you sit down and watch it the first time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's hilarious.
All right.
My next one, this is a John Waters movie.
Oh, boy.
Serial Mom.
Oh, I love Serial Mom.
Serial Mom is so good.
Didn't even occur to me.
I love Serial Mom. For no other reason, just to hear Kathleen Turner call somebody a cocksucker.
She was so good in that movie. You can tell she was having a fucking blast.
John Waters said she had a blast.
Yeah, she
had
looks
a blast
like it.
With her.
Yeah, and I think that's why you have so much fun watching it as a viewer, right? Because you can see it in her face.
She's
relishing.
It's almost like she can barely contain herself.
Yeah, like
I
have been dying to do a role like this.
So it was
fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was so much fun. It was so dark.
Damn, good choice,
but
dude.
But because of John Waters, it was just so out there.
Yeah.
And just
John Waters is just out there though.
Oh, I love John Waters. Have you ever seen his one man show, This Filthy World? He's such a great storyteller on top of everything else. And just listening to him talk about Divine and talk about filming stuff and talk about being on drugs when they were filming stuff and just he's so funny. His delivery is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he talks about Serial Mom and talks about Kathleen Turner and talks about meeting Patty McCormick from The Bad Seed.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, it's really, if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. But
it's called what now?
It's called This Filthy World.
This Filthy World.
And, but yeah, Serial Mom is one of my definitely top 10. Like, if I were going to rank this one, it would be close to number one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So, I'm about to start getting into the more obscure titles now. My next one is a movie from 1987, directed by Charlie Leventhal, starring Scott Valentine and Michelle Little. I know everybody's going, who? Right, exactly. This movie has no Rotten Tomato score. It's one of those.
Wow.
It's called My Demon Lover.
I remember that.
Do you?
Yeah.
So I was watching this movie entirely too fucking young. I was like 9 when I saw this. It's like I watched it as an adult, and I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe my parents let me watch this movie. So Scott Valentine plays this guy who gets cursed by this, like, it didn't date well, by a gypsy, right?
He gets cursed by
a gypsy that anytime he gets aroused, he'll turn into a demon. So he's a very lonely dude, and he doesn't date. He can't even barely talk to women in public.
Wow.
Because he'll start to turn into this demon. But, of course, he meets a girl that makes him want to try to shed the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the premise of the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
I barely remember that.
I mean, I have vague memories of it, too.
I've heard of it, obviously, but I remember seeing it. But that's all I remember. I don't remember very much.
I remember as a little kid thinking it was fucking fantastic. And then when I watched it as an adult, I was like, what the fuck is this? But if you watch it with the right people, you're going to have a great fucking time.
Yeah, that's just funny.
It has all the inappropriateness of 80s comedy and 80s horror.
Okay.
All in one movie.
All right.
It's a hot mess. All right. My next one. Yeah,
next one.
Maybe a little bit more well-known. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this movie. I went to look for info about it. There isn't a lot out there. It's a movie from 2006 called Fido.
Oh, man.
Directed by Andrew Curry. 73% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So, really respectable score for a horror movie.
Yep.
The zombie apocalypse has happened, and there's this company called Zomco that has developed, I think that's Zomco or something like that. Zomco. They've developed these collars that they can put on the zombie and then essentially turn it into a mindless slave.
Slave, yeah.
So society has now developed to the point where having a zombie is in the home is as common as having a television.
Right.
Everyone has one. The more money you pay, the less decomposed your zombie will be. So there's like a social hierarchy in the zombie world. So anyway, this middle class family who doesn't really have a lot ends up getting a really good deal on a zombie. And the kid promptly names the zombie Fido.
Fido.
Well, the reason they got such a good deal is because his collar is faulty. So the collar short circuits every once in a while.
That's right.
And when it does, all hell starts breaking loose. Now, there's a subplot going on where the father of the family is a bit of a dick.
Right.
And the marriage is falling apart, right? And the mom starts to fall in love with Fido.
Yeah.
And like whatever human part of Fido remains also loves her back. Really weird.
It is really,
really
weird.
Funny. The gore is super gory. The comedy is super funny.
And it does a great job skewering the 50s.
Yes. Yeah, that's another great thing. It takes place in the 50s.
Yeah.
So just a fantastic film. Really like quirky. And I love a good quirky horror. Really, really check this one out. You owe it to yourself.
Now, Fido was Billy Connolly, right?
I believe so.
Because I remember somebody, because he didn't have any speaking lines.
No, he doesn't.
And Billy Connolly's a comedian.
Right.
And he was like, this is what I do, and you're not letting me speak.
That was recently done in a movie called I Think We Have a Ghost, where David Harbour, this new Netflix movie, David Harbour plays the ghost, and apparently he doesn't speak.
Okay.
And I'm like, you take one of the funniest dudes that Netflix has on their lineup of actors and you take away his greatest tool.
Right.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
But whatever.
So do you have, where are we at?
Before we move on, I'm trying to find out if it was the actor's name.
I think it is Billy Connolly.
I'm pretty sure you're right. Yeah, you're right. It was Billy Connolly. Fantastic film. I love Fido. I will probably rewatch Fido later today.
Okay. Right. Where are you?
I've
done four. So all right. So here's a four. This is a weird one to me because the first movie, I don't really regard it as a horror comedy, but the second one, The Dentist 2.
Oh, shit.
The Dentist is not great, but I love it. And it's kind of creepy, and it's him, it's Corbin Burnson losing his mind. Parts of it are kind of funny, but it's really not, I don't think, played too much for laughs. Dentist 2 leans into the funny. It is so funny. It's just so over-the-top stupid in terms of stuff that he does to people. And the very end when he's been attacked with a nail gun and he's driving away laughing and pulling the nails out of his head. This is beautiful, beautiful stuff. It is hilarious.
I haven't seen
that. And Corbin Burnson as a comedy serial killer dentist. I mean, he just leaned into it.
Yeah. I'm sure he had a great time.
It looked like he was having, it was like Kathleen Turner and Serial Mom. He looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah.
Because it's so not like him. You know, if you used to see him in LA Law decades ago and on Psych.
Very serious.
But man, it's so funny. And I could see like The Dentist could have been funnier, but I'm kind of glad it wasn't. But The Dentist too, it's just, I don't do this at horror comedies. I laughed out loud watching The Dentist too. I think it's hysterical, which is really weird because dentist stuff really freaks me out.
Oh, does it?
Oh, yeah. Watching, like, The Marathon Man when Laurence Olivier is torturing Dustin Hoffman. I can't deal with that kind of shit.
Oh, shit.
But this movie, I was just laughing my ass off. It was so funny. That's my fourth one. Are we doing any honorable mentions for this?
No, because we're gonna
do a part two.
We're gonna do a part two.
Okay.
Yeah. My original like brainstorm list was 61 movies long.
See, I barely got 12.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
Well, there's a bunch of them. 62 movies on this list, and that's considering that. No spoilers because it didn't make my list. Sharknado, for example, there are 7 of those, and I counted them all as one.
Yeah.
Same with the Evil Dead trilogy. I counted them all as one.
Well, and there were certain things that we both decided we weren't going to talk about.
Right. So
because like
what we call low hanging fruit.
Well, like Cabin in the Woods. Everybody knows about Cabin in the Woods.
Beetlejuice, Ghostbusters, yeah. Gremlins.
So there were certain things that and like or like Mom and Dad. We already talked about Mom and Dad and Cooties.
Right. Exactly.
So there are a number of things.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space, yeah. Monster Squad.
I mean, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, we talked about with at least 2 episodes.
Yeah. We talked about it during the clown episode, and we gave it its own episode.
We had its own interview.
Was on the show.
Or its own interview, its own review.
Yeah.
So my number one is actually another Mel Brooks movie.
Oh.
It's called High Anxiety.
Yes! Yeah, okay, you're counting that as a horror?
Yeah.
I get it.
It's all spoofs of Hitchcock.
Right.
So, and it's one of those things that it's funny.
Yeah.
It's Mel Brooks, so it's got sight gags. It's got Mel Brooks humor. But it's another one of those things that the more you know about more Hitchcock movies, the funnier this thing gets. And he goes after so many Hitchcock movies, not just The Birds and, you know, the big ones, but he goes after like Vertigo and Rear Window. And it's just so good. The scene where he's trying to run away from the crows and he gets covered in bird shit. It still cracks me the fuck up. Cloris Leachman is amazing in it. It's just the whole, I've actually said, and nobody ever gets it when I say it, when she's giving them the rules of the insane asylum. And I've had students come into class and they'll say, what did I miss? They'll come in late and be, what did I miss? And like, those who are tardy do not get fruit cup. So I love High Anxiety. It's almost as funny as Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. I'm glad that both of those movies ended up in this episode somehow.
So that's my, for this one, that's my number one. That's the only one I ranked.
All right. Of the list. I wouldn't call this my number one. Like I said, my number one is Killer Clowns. However, this movie, we watched it maybe 2 weeks ago, and it immediately jumped into Sarah's top 5 horrors, period, of all time. She is absolutely head over heels for this movie. I love it to death.
Okay.
It is called Benny Loves You.
I haven't seen this yet.
It's from 2019. This movie has an 81 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
I can think of maybe 5 human beings on the planet that have ever heard of this fucking movie.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
There's a guy named Carl Holt. This is his first movie. But not only did he write it and direct it and star in it, he also produced it. Taught himself special effects, did all the special effects. We literally thought it was stop motion puppetry. It's all CG.
Wow.
And he taught it to himself. And he edited his own movie. All because, not because he was like a control freak, but because he couldn't afford to pay anybody to do anything. So he just had to do it. And when you watch this movie, first of all, you quality-wise, you would never in a million years say to yourself, one dude who had never done special effects did this.
Okay.
It looks legit. It's a stuffed creature, so it moves kind of floppy and fucked up. It reminds me of how Woody runs in Toy Story. You ever seen Woody run? Woody is a mess when he's running. That's how this creature moves, but which is why I thought it was puppetry. It literally looks like somebody shaking a stuffed animal on screen.
Okay.
But when you realize that he animated that, it becomes a lot more impressive. The story is there's this kid, and he has this stuffed animal, Benny, that his mom gives him when he's super little, and he gets super attached to Benny. Forgets all about Benny, grows up, ends up coming back to the house that he grew up in, finds Benny. Benny being away from him awoke something in him. So when he comes back, it turns into like almost like Monkey Shines. How remember the if the dude even thought ill of someone, the monkey would kill him, kill that person for him. Like that, except if this dude cares about you at all, Benny's gonna kill you. But Benny, the only thing
that's great,
Benny loves you.
it's
so fantastic.
Okay,
please, please, please.
Watch Benny Loves You. I have to watch that.
If we do like if we can find like another doll movie that maybe you want me to watch, we could do a double feature.
Oh, we could totally.
Because I'm sure I haven't seen Dolls, and I know you've been wanting me to watch
Dolls. There's The Pit.
Yeah, you mentioned that
there's,
too.
There's a lot of stuff we could. Pair that up with. Okay.
But yeah, Benny loves you. Benny loves you. And I believe it's on Shudder right now, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
It was fantastic.
So those are five horror comedies that are well worth checking out.
Please do.
And we will be back at some point with part two
of this list. Stay creepy.